So you've been winning the last couple of years, huh? Now that sounded a little arrogant to me.
Is that a humble brag?
That seems
so humble.
A little tough. In fact, you're not winning right now.
It's me and Chantel, as it has been for like 3-4 seasons. When is somebody else going to step up?
This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday morning, July 17th, 2017. I'm Eric. He's AJ Mast, and we've got much to discuss from a busy weekend, trades and injuries, intriguing performances. AJ, how are you today?
I'm good, Eric. How are you doing?
I want to hear you tell me how to avoid overreacting in fantasy baseball, because I just can't do it. We're going to get to that in a little bit here on the show. We'll also talk about a little closer carousel, because some closers moved on, or did they? Here is the buzz. Okay, let's start with the big trade of the weekend. The Nationals picked up some relief help, Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle coming over from Oakland. And there was no save situation on Sunday. Wouldn't have mattered. They're not there yet. And supposedly they're not going to be available for today's game, which for pretty much all of you has already started. So I ask you, AJ, without knowing anything from Dusty Baker, because he won't tell, which one of these guys gets more – and, you know, he shouldn't, frankly. What he should do is use them both. One guy hasn't given up a single hit or a walk to a lefty. I think we can guess who that is. The other guy has a pair of 30 save seasons on his resume, so he's done okay. He's had a pretty good career. Who do you think gets more saves here?
I do think it's going to be a mix and match, because that's what Dusty does. I mean, Dusty has always been that kind of a guy who doesn't tip his hand and doesn't really, you know, if it was the difference between, you know, a rookie and a veteran, he's going to go veteran. But with these guys, I think he's going to mix and match and just play the hot hand. He doesn't really know what he has with them, other than much better than what he had before the deal. And I think he'll try them both out. And if he seems to like one more than the other and it starts to lean towards a 60-40 split, then he'll probably – that'll become a 70 and then an 80 and a 90-10 split. So I would say for now, they'll probably be 50-50.
Yeah, if I was leaning towards one, I would say it's Ryan Madsen, and that'd be because Sean Doolittle's had injury problems, shoulder issues the last couple of years. But I agree, if there's a lefty up, if Joey Votto's up in the ninth inning, I think it'll be Doolittle. And if it's a bunch of right-handers, I think it'll be Madsen. I do think we can forget about Matt Albers. We can forget about Kota Glover, who's on the disabled list, just moved to the 60-day DL with the back
sad,
injury.
Sad times.
And Kyle, of course, is very sad about that. But let's be realistic. And the Nationals might not even be done. I mean, they could still trade for David Robertson if they want. This is a team that can win the World Series. So they need a little bit more help than this. Nothing going back to Oakland that fantasy owners need to think about here. While we're talking relievers, let's do a closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
Next save for the Cardinals, AJ, who is it?
I think it's probably Rosenthal, but I don't necessarily think that O's out of the mix either. I think they really don't know. I think they don't. Mancini doesn't really want to go to Bowman, and I think he's just going to go with the hot hand, which, you know, is not O right now. Not that Rosenthal is, but it's not O.
Yeah, I mean, Brett Cecil got the save chance on Sunday, and he blew it. It was kind of predictable. O is just not having the same year he did last year. Either something wrong with him or hitters are reacting to him. Trevor Rosenthal, you know, if he had been pitching better recently, this would be over, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I had nightmares last night. I weren't sure if it was because of Sung Wan Oh or if it was because of dragons flying in my head. You know what I'm talking about.
Shall we begin?
What'd you think? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I thought it was awesome, and not to spoil anything for anybody, but I have been Team Aria from the get-go, and wow, that opening sequence, huzzah.
Yes, that was pretty good. This season's going to be a blast. We're talking about Game of Thrones, of course. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, I DVR'd it because I was watching the ESPN game on Sunday Night Baseball, and then I waited until the game was over, and then I watched Game of Thrones after that. That's what I did.
You are a company man.
I sure are. What other save situations here must we discuss? Oakland, I suppose. I mean, I guess it's possible Blake Treinen figures in, but he was so bad the first week of the season with Washington. I don't see why Sandy Alcántara keeps getting talked about as losing the job. They're not in the race. I don't think he's that tradable. I guess he could be. I think Casilla keeps the job. Like, I made the case in my blog that Casilla still gets more saves than either Madsen or Doolittle the rest of the year.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, you know, it's kind of like a situation when the Padres were like big sellers and, you know, they trade Street and you go, well, who's going to get it? Well, they'll trade three more relievers as well. You know, that was the way the Padres worked. I don't necessarily think that Casilla is a guarantee to stay with the A's, but if he's there in 2 weeks, then yeah, I totally agree with you.
Do we feel like Alex Claudio is Texas's closer and that'll stick, or do we think they make an upgrade? Do we think that Matt Bush and or Jose Leclerc get more save chances in the future? I mean, if you had a shot right now to pick up one reliever, would it be Ryan Madsen or Alex Claudio?
Oh, it would be Madsen, just because I think it's a little bit more of a secure thing that he's at least going to get save chances. In terms of Texas, I don't really know where that's all going to fall out. I've said before, I like Leclerc better as a pitcher, but I think that's also, you know, it's a three-man rotation versus a two-man rotation. I'd rather go with the guy in the two.
And we should note, in the next 2 weeks, leading up to two Mondays from today, there will be a lot of trade talk and then a couple trades. But some of the trades that could happen could affect closer situations. Now, the one with Oakland and Washington was not the normal one. Two relievers went in the Oakland trade, and neither were their closer. So, when Detroit finally finds a taker for Justin Wilson, and they will, good lefty, he's been closing fine, that means Detroit's job opens up, and potentially wherever Wilson goes, either goes to Wilson or not. So keep an eye on all the trades there. You know, I don't see that many closers on the trade block. I guess the Mets could move Addison Reed. I guess the Padres could move Brandon Maurer and Brad Hand, the next in line. That could be something there. Watch for Kirby Yates. So at what point, AJ, in a deeper league, do you start to pick up guys like Shane Green of Detroit in case 2 weeks from today he becomes a closer?
I would think you probably would have already had to have done it, but if it's, you know, now is a perfectly good time. You know, I always like to do the moves 1 week too soon rather than 1 week too late. So we know there are going to be trades in the next 2 weeks. Now is the time to do it if you haven't already. I think, you know, it's also a case to take a speculative grab on somebody from Minnesota like Taylor Rogers, because even though they're still in it, they really shouldn't be thinking as an organization that they're still in it. They should probably trade Kinsler and probably trade Santana and probably trade Dozier. And they know they're not going to, but if they're thinking clearly and they lose like 3-4 games in the next week, they got to be sellers, don't they?
Of course they do, but they don't have to make sense either. It's a business, and so many businesses don't make sense. And we should note that, like, you know, picking up Shane Green is more of an AL-only league or like an 18 or 20-team mixed league. In a standard mixed ESPN, you don't need to look at guys like that. I mean, there's a bunch of relievers that aren't even owned. Hector Neris, Sandy Casilla, they're not owned in ESPN standard leagues, and I can't make a good case that they should be. Anyway, there will be other trade talks. Sonny Gray, Jose Quintana was traded during our last show on Thursday, and we all know about that. He made his debut for the Cubs on Sunday in an American League park. That's what I think is interesting here, because part of the value of Quintana getting better is that he goes from the American League to the National League, and then his first start, and his third start, is going to be back in Chicago against the White Sox. So two of his first three starts are being AL parks, which defeats the purpose. But he did look great, and he hadn't looked like that all season long, 12 strikeouts with nary a walk. I mean, definitely a top 20 starting pitcher, and could be one of those guys who has like a Chris Medlin half, right, where he just goes nuts and carries fantasy owners to wins, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, just immediately switching leagues, albeit with the two American League start caveat there, he definitely has to shoot up anybody's rankings just for the fact he's facing pitchers instead of DHs. So, yeah, this is a guy who's easily a top 25 and possibly that top 15 potential going forward.
Now, I'm in the NL Labor League. It's a 12-team NL only through ISA today. And I've never won it, though I finished second four times in the last 9 years. And I have a shot. I'm one of the three teams that are in the higher tier right now, though I'm not in first. My friend Steve Gardner is. And I had the most money of the three contending teams to go get Jose Quintana. I still had 92 of my $100. I didn't get him. And the reason I didn't get him is because there was another team. There are actually two other teams. In this league, the rule is that if one of your guys goes out for the season, you get to reclaim his money and add it to your $100 fab budget. So I got outbid by somebody who had like $110, even though we only started with 100. And I thought, that kind of stinks. I don't like that very much. And Steve might listen. I don't like that rule. I told him to him a couple of years ago, but it's been there forever. Look, I could have had a guy go out for the season and claim that money too. Anyway, I didn't get Jose Quintana. And that might have been the difference for me, because all I really needed was a good starting pitcher, and I didn't get it. So $92 on Jose Quintana, and that's my entire budget. That's all I had left. And in a way, So originally I was angry. I was like, I really needed Jose Quintana, and the guy who got him isn't going to trade him to me. And he's in like ninth place. I don't even know why I needed him. But he should have bid for him, and he can figure it out later. Now I've got the money, but I don't know who's coming over. Like, do I want to spend $92 on Sonny Gray if he joins a National League team like the Dodgers? I don't know. I mean, J.D. Martinez, I don't need the offense, but I'll do it. And we couldn't get Ryan Madsen because he wasn't in the system when he came in Sunday. Anyway, that's just me going on a little rant here. Let's talk about the pitchers. So Quintana looked great. Madison Bumgarner, other than the home runs to guys that you should never be giving up home runs to, it was a good outing, a solid outing, and you should have had him in your lineups anyway. But then the Giants lose Johnny Cueto. So I ask you, is Cueto a guy we keep around in a 10-team ESPN standard mix? Not having a very good year.
No, he's not having a very good year, and you know, he's damaged goods now, going on the DL and everything. And, I mean, I've already lowered him down to outside my top 50 going forward. And, that's where streaming territory comes into play. And so, no, I really don't think that you need to keep him in a one-and-done league. I think there are much better options out there for you who are pitching right now. You don't need to wait for him. And if you're in one of these, league-specific leagues where you're waiting on Sonny Gray to come over, I actually would go after Sonny Gray if he ends up in Milwaukee, which is certainly a possibility. You know, with the Quintana deal, Milwaukee is pretty much balls in their court now to respond. And Sonny Gray has a relationship with their pitching coach from the Vanderbilt days. And so I think that there's a relationship there that might actually make Sonny Gray a better pickup than he might be if he goes somewhere else.
Cueto, the latest pitcher here to be complaining about blisters because of the new baseballs. And look, we know that these baseballs are different than last year's baseballs, and quite a few pitchers have had these blister problems, but I don't expect a big final 2 months from Johnny Cueto. The Giants are a mess, and that's just the way it is. We had injuries. Two pitchers who I liked before the season to different levels here, but I like them. Both out now with Tommy John surgery. Michael Pineda of the Yankees, a lot of strikeouts. Joe Ross of the Nationals, also a lot of strikeouts here. How do you react in keeper or dynasty leagues, AJ, when you have a starting pitcher going with Tommy John surgery? He's going to miss at least half of next year as well. And price matters, of course, but do you keep them around or do you say that's it, they're damaged goods, I move on?
I think it's different scenarios here. I think with Ross, I probably let him go because I wasn't all that impressed with what he was doing prior to the injury. And I'm not going to hold the roster spot for that long. With Pineda, it's a little bit more interesting simply because he's a free agent, and he's going to probably land in a place where they can use him and insert him right away, rather than with the Yankees. If he was still on the Yankees next year, it might have been one of those things where, well, we'll spot him here or there. But I think if he's able to come back, I think he'll land in a place where he can be used right away. So it's a little bit different there.
All right, let's get to. We had a combo meal on Sunday.
Hey, it's a combo meal. Combo, combo. It's a combo meal. Home run plus steal.
I can't say I have a whole lot to say about J.D. Martinez, but I just wanted to take 10 seconds off and get a drink of water there. let's say J.D. Martinez gets traded to the National League. Are you, and obviously it depends which team. I can't imagine it'll be Colorado since they already have an influx of too many people. But maybe the Cubs, I mean, if J.D. Martinez gets traded to the National League, do we expect his numbers to go up or down or not change?
Well, I do. I mean, obviously Colorado up, anywhere else, probably no change. Ballpark factor being what it is. I mean, certainly there are certain parks that are better for hitters than others, but I would say no change. He's certainly going to go over there and play every day. You don't make a deal for a guy like that and not put him in every day, which is, why I don't necessarily see him going to Chicago. I just think they have so many outfielders already. And, yeah, he'd be an upgrade, but I don't see the fit there. Where they can spend their prospects a little more wisely, I think.
So the Rockies activated Ian Desmond. And they also played they played in left field Gerardo Parra yesterday. He's batting .330. I mean, they're not just going to all of a sudden sit these guys. Now, they have a lot of players. They did not sit Trevor Story for Desmond short, and maybe they won't. And they've got this David Dahl kid who is really, really good, getting like 3 hits a day on his rehab assignment. So, I mean, obviously we would assume that Parra will lose out on playing time here. And I have to assume Mark Reynolds, if you still got him, you've juiced the orange there. You've gotten 3 good months out of this guy. But that's ending. They're going to have to play Desmond at first, right? And they're going to have to play Dolan left at some point soon over Tapia, too.
Yeah, well, that's what Bud Black says. He says it's left field and first base for Desmond as needed and not at short no matter what. You know, I guess he'll happily put Velika in there to give Story a break every now and then, and he's just going to hope his bat comes around. But he's pretty much said Desmond's not playing short, so I'll have to take him at his word. It is a crowded outfield. I still think it would behoove them to trade Cargo. Again, it's that business thing, whether or not they will or not. I don't know, but I think that would be a very smart move to send him to the American League and get some pitching help, and then they have these outfielder spots to fill in.
All right, let's do a little buy or sell on other players who homered on Sunday. Philadelphia outfielder Nick Williams. Are you buying or are you just avoiding?
I'm avoiding. I'll take a chance on streaming a pitcher every now and then, but for the most part, I'm not looking towards Philly for any offensive help. Even though I know the stats will be there, and I always say don't poo-poo it entirely because bad teams score runs too and the stats count, not with the Phillies.
If there's anything you learned today, folks, it's don't poo-poo. Avisel Garcia, the White Sox, 2 home runs. He had 2 stolen bases on Friday. He's still hitting over 300. It's not stopping. Some of this is BABIP, but he's also hitting the ball harder. This looks real now at this point. It's 3 months.
It does, though I still would sell high on him and try and get more just in case the bottom falls out. I'm not, like you said, more and more buying every week, but I'm still not 100% sold. The only thing I'm sold on is how during the All-Star game, the announcers kept calling him Avisail, which I enjoyed hearing, and I've incorporated into my own Avisail Garcia.
I think we should all incorporate that into our lexicon there. Logan Morrison's going to hit 40 home runs. Buying or selling on that?
I'm buying. I am. I've liked him all season, and comments that he made to the media notwithstanding, I like him. I like Tampa Bay. Before the season started, I thought Tampa Bay would be in first place or in a wild card spot at the All-Star break and competitive the rest of the way, and so far they are proving me correct.
Matt Adams hits 30 home runs. Buy or sell? He's at 15.
I'm going to sell on that one. I don't see the power numbers continuing there. And eventually, I would not be surprised if they just say, you know what, Freddie, go back over to first, and Matt, take a seat and be our pinch hitter.
Kenneth Vargas hit his 8th yesterday. 20 home runs on that's too many. 15. 15 home runs for the season for Kenny Vargas.
I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under. I think he'll get his hits from every now and then. He'll get one, and everyone will be excited, and then he won't get another homer for another, 10 days.
CJ Cron or Lucas Duda rest of the season?
Cron, if I were the Mets, I'd trade Duda. They're not going to. And unless he lands in an AL park where he can DH, I just don't see him getting more than Cron.
All right, now you wrote an article telling us how to avoid overreacting in fantasy baseball, and I enjoyed it, as I do all the articles you write. But to people who may not have seen it or are thinking about becoming an insider, and you should become an insider because it's inside information, please give us a peek inside the brain of AJ. What did you tell us and why?
Well, obviously there aren't a lot of people who are going to completely overreact and say, oh, Aaron Judge stinks because he's gone 1-for-18 to start the second half of the season. That's an overreaction. I think most people can wrap their heads around that. But in general, I think we all react a little bit too much to hot streaks and cold streaks and try to play the guessing game. So I created these two hypothetical players, one made up of a combination of Joey Votto and Paul Goldschmidt, who, are 1-2 on the player radar at first base. And the other being Tommy Joseph of Philadelphia and PJ Rivera of the Mets, who are 35 and 40 on the player radar. And if you try to guess each day what these hitters would have done and try to guess create a platoon out of them, if you guessed wrong every day for the top two players on the player radar, you would come up with a player who's much worse than if you had guessed right with Joseph and Rivera. And the point in that is not, this is done with the benefit of hindsight. No one's going to be perfect. But the point is that you should not give up because you can create a great player or at least a very decent player out of two garbage pieces if you happen to guess right. And for those players, it certainly makes sense to look at the matchups and say, oh, he's going into Colorado or, he's facing a pitcher who's a lefty, things like that. But with your studs, just start your studs. Don't try to overthink it. Don't try to say, you know, play a hunch. Just put your guy in there because you can take two superstars and create crap out of it. And I think that's the key takeaway, that you know, don't react. Try to take that reaction out. Even on, you know, a guy gets two hits today, four hits tomorrow, you're like, oh, he's hot. I got to get him on the lineup. That's not how you have to look at fantasy baseball.
And check out AJ's rankings. A lot of names in there. Go check them out. It's posted at ESPN Fantasy. And after this, Kyle tells us your questions.
How are we doing, guys? You have a good weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. How about you?
Yeah, can't complain. Beautiful weather. We're doing okay here. Doing okay here. And Twitter's doing okay, too. They got some questions for you. As always, hashtag 06010MLB if you want to ask your questions. We get in as many in as we can. And with trades coming up, I'm thinking there's going to be some good questions coming up. Dave wants to start the questions with Marco Estrada. Has the clock finally struck midnight on him outpitching his peripherals? 9.5 ERA since the beginning of June.
Yeah, you know what? Marco Estrada had been pitching over his numbers, and lately he hasn't. But I don't want to give up because I still think there's something there. And the strikeout rate's been high. AJ, where'd you rank him? Let me see where you've got him here.
I believe I have him at 64.
Among pitchers or overall? Among
pitchers? Starting pitchers.
That's still pretty good. That's a lot of strikeouts. Oh, wow. He doesn't have a his last three outings have been pretty bad. At Detroit, at the Yankees, home Boston, 7 walks. What's with the walks? Look how many. He's walked 4 or more in 5 consecutive outings. He's got to be hurt, right?
Tied for the longest streak over the last 5 years.
That's just not like him at all. That's strange.
Yeah, there's something clearly wrong there, whether he's trying to be too perfect with his pitches or an injury. Either way, I don't care because the results are the same. And like I said, I've already taken him out of my 50, which means he's a streamer at best, still in the streamer range because of the strikeouts, but the walk total is just something you have to avoid on the regular.
Yeah, I think maybe – well, I'd bench him this week, the way he's been pitching. I'd bench most players though, the way that if they pitched like that, but now I have to think something's wrong with him. He must be hurt. All right, what's next?
He's available in over 40% of leagues, so would you pick him up and add him?
No, I mean, in a 10-team standard, probably not.
Pass him?
I mean, it depends what the other options are. I mean, if you're replacing Joe Ross, I mean, I think you can do better. But
all right. Yeah, I think I agree. I think I would pass there. Just I don't know. The recent struggles, I'm passing.
I mean, Sam, let me look at, I'm looking here at the most added pitchers. Brent Suter of Milwaukee, who I think is a 2-start guy this week. Mike Clevenger, who's been striking people out. Charlie Morton's been striking people out. I have them all instead of Estrada right now. I watched Matt Garr's outing yesterday. Looked fine to me. You know, I don't know how he's doing it. Not throwing that hard. Luis Castillo, the Reds, definitely in on that guy.
He looked good, yeah. He's
a lot of strikeouts. He's a walker, too.
He's
a different type. It's not like Estrada. Castillo throws hard. Estrada doesn't.
You think some of the walks come from this age of strikeout or home run theory? Like you're pitching to avoid the hard power and people just lay off and walk everybody?
I think with Castillo, I watched 2 outings ago. I think he just doesn't know where the ball is going sometimes. I don't think he's trying to walk people. I think he's trying to find control. And he was a walker in the minors, too. He throws really hard, so that could be part of that. But, you know, I want to see more. I want to see more out of him, frankly.
Love to see you, though. I'm with you there. Sam, are we comfortable with any Braves starting pitchers this week? They've got the Cubs and the Dodgers. Kind of looking at Foltynewicz here. 2.67 ERA over the last month, and the Braves have won his last 7 starts.
They've won his last 7 starts? Wow.
How about that?
Well, Teron's at home, which is where the bad numbers have been, right? Isn't Teron the guy who's pitching well on the road?
Yeah,
yep.
He's home for one of them.
I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd pick Newcomb. They're all in the streaming category for me. This is a team that I think it probably has hurt them in terms of, you know, they're going to think they're buyers and they're going to make a stupid deal or not trade Teron when they probably could and get a lot back in return for him. So it's one of these weird situations that they still think they have a chance at a wild card.
Why don't they have a chance, AJ? Like, I'm kind of being serious here. The way Colorado's played over the last couple of weeks, it's certainly making it look like they can be caught by somebody. Like, I wouldn't be surprised now if the Cubs catch the Rockies but the Brewers still win the division. Braves are only a half game behind the Cubs.
No, I realize that, and that's come off a really strong 2 weeks of play here, which may not necessarily be sustainable. I think at least, you know, they're in a situation where Freeman came back, which increases the lineup. It goes back to what I said earlier about Minnesota, who are 1.5 games out of the Central, but they're starting Bartolo Colon on Tuesday. So that tells me all I need to know about their actual chances. So I would agree with you, Atlanta has a much better chance than Minnesota, who most people would say have a better chance just based on the standings and perception. I agree with you there. I just don't necessarily think that they're going to be able to sustain the winning that they've done of late. I just really don't.
And let me ask you this. At what point do we start to view the Cubs offense not as last year's version, but as this year's, which is actually 16th in the majors in runs scored? Like, we're in mid-July. So I think at this point, like, when I have a pitcher going up against a team, I avoid Houston and Washington, all right? I avoid Coors Field. I'm avoiding the Brewers now, too. I'm not so sure I'm avoiding the Cubs anymore. Again, like, they've been outscored this season by Detroit and the Mets and the Reds and the Rays. It's not a great offense.
No, I mean, yeah, you're looking at Rizzo and Bryant and the rest of the gang. There's certainly a drop-off there. I don't even think I have another Cubs hitter in the top 150. So I hear you there, and I do think you have to look at what's going on. Certainly at the All-Star break, that's enough of a sample size for team stats. You know, individual stats is still not necessarily, oh my goodness, this guy has turned it around. But with teams, yeah, I would totally agree with you.
Okay.
You guys kind of buried the lead there. We got Colon going on ESPN on Tuesday night. So you're canceling your plans. You're watching 285-pound Colon go against 282-pound Aaron Judge and just enjoying it, right? Am I wrong on this?
You're wrong. Yeah, right. I mean, I don't
think
AJ's...
That's not going to be fun to watch.
I don't think AJ's watching Bartolo Colon tomorrow. I don't think I am.
I'm tuning in.
You're not.
Look, if he was batting... Then, yeah, okay. You know, unless they're going to get rid of the DH for the game.
Oh, actually, I am tuning in because it's on ESPN.
See?
8 p.m. on Tuesday night. So we buried the lead there. I will be watching Luis Sessa and Bartolo Colon. We'll get to tonight's ESPN game a little bit later.
That is a company man at his finest. Wow. We'll stick with the Braves. Even
for a little,
though
I got to keep it going, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Donna wants to know, Dansby Swanson struggling in a big way this year. Does he have enough upside to consider him a keeper moving forward, or is the ceiling not high enough?
I'm surprised here. And anybody, I wrote in March that I did not think that Dansby Swanson and Andrew Benintendi would be great for fantasy purposes. Now, Swanson's just been unplayable for every purpose. Benintendi's been better than I thought. I can't believe Swanson's been this bad. In batting average, I thought he'd have more power. He definitely has more speed than only one stolen base attempt. How are you going to view him for 2018? Because this is going to be a lost year. He's age 23 year. He's going to end up hitting 230 or 240 at best with 9-10 home runs. Are we going to think next year there's possibilities here to be a good number two hitter who bats near 300, has maybe 10 homers, 10 steals, or are you running away?
I mean, it's certainly possible. I think a lot has to do with how the team finishes the season and who they bring back. You know, I know Brandon Phillips wants to stick around, and if he does, then what does that mean for a guy like Ozzie Albies? How many rookies are they going to want to bring to the team? Does Camargo finish the year strong? It's way too early to be thinking about next season in terms of a guy like this. The fact that they haven't demoted him does probably give me at least optimism that he'll at least get a fair shake in the spring. I'm not cutting him in a dynasty league, but obviously it depends how many guys you get to keep. He's certainly not high on my list.
Yeah, pretty disappointing. I thought he'd be a lot better than this. But anyway, Benintendi's been good. I also thought Manuel Margot would be really good, and maybe he still will be, but not so
at least he's got an injury excuse.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he'd run more. I mean, obviously the rookie of the years seemed to be pretty set at this point between the power hitters, Judge and Bellinger.
Alrighty, fair enough. I would agree on the Rookie of the Year campaign. That seems to be over. We've got Donnie from Israel has a kind of an ethical question here. He's winning his league this year because he picked up Aaron Judge early on, and his teammate or his league mates are calling him lucky. He wants to know what requires more luck, which requires more skill, the draft or free agency?
Well, it's luck.
Not really an ethical question.
I don't think it's ethical. I've dealt with some ethical stuff in my leagues the last couple of weeks. That's not one of them. I mean, why do you care what anybody says about you? You're winning. I would ignore it. They're just jealous.
I'd rather be lucky than good.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I have a team in a dynasty league where I had the worst draft I've ever had. And the commissioner's just taking pot shot after pot shot after me, and there's nothing I can do. I'm not even mad. I'm just like, I can't believe how bad that draft was. I mean, like, a who's who of guys who hit well last year, Brad Miller types who just haven't, and, like, it was all throughout my team. Is that bad luck, or am I a bad fantasy owner? I think it's probably bad luck, you know? But, you know, if you have Aaron Judge on your team, did you know he was going to do this? Of course not. What does it matter? Does it matter if it's lucky or good? It's got to be a combination, I think. You have to do your research. You have to do your study and make sure you're prepared. But you also have to take a couple chances and hope they work out. If you were flipping a coin between Swanson and Benintendi, obviously one of them you would have flipped right and one you would have flipped really wrong. Is that because you don't know what you're doing? Or is that because you just got unlucky?
Well, it's the same thing for, you know, people who draft, you know, Mike Trout in the first round, which is a pick that certainly nobody is going to argue with. And then he gets hurt. His thumb gets hurt. And you know, are you going to suddenly say, well, that was stupid of you to draft him because now he's hurt? I mean, imagine if he had been a season-ending injury. It's like, come on. It has nothing to do with anything.
I find it interesting when people rail on draft picks the day of the draft, the day after, whatever.
I
say,
hate that.
That's a dumb pick. There's no way that's going to work. Now, if you had taken Aaron Judge in round 10, for example, and he ended up going like in round 20 of ESPN standards, if you had taken him in round 10 and said to your league mates, I think he's going to be really good. I don't care if I'm overdrafting him and you got made fun of. I could say to you, well, you did overdraft him. You could have waited five more rounds, but you also went by your gut and said, I need this guy. I think he's going to be great. I think it's funny when people just rip draft picks because you have no idea until the season's over whether it was a good or a bad pick, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? Sometimes you can be right. Sometimes you can be wrong. And when you are right, feel free to crow about it. I mean, I've been winning our dynasty league that we have at ESPN for several years because I went probably five rounds too soon on Jose Altuve the year I got him. But you know what? He became Jose Altuve. I could have just as easily had egg on my face. I just happened not to.
So you've been winning the last couple of years, huh? Now, that sounded a little arrogant to me.
Was that a humble brag or not so humble?
That seemed a little tough. In fact, you're not winning right now.
It's me and Schoenfeld, as it has been for like three, four seasons. When is somebody else going to step up?
Well, you know, I missed my winning last year by half a point. Weren't there four teams? Let me check this out to make sure here.
I think there were five teams within 5 points going into the like 2 weeks
left. Last year, you finished fifth in this league. I just want to make sure we have it clear here because you were bragging about winning this league.
And yeah, I beat finished
you last
fifth.
Year. You finished fifth.
Yeah,
so,
and I won the 2 years before that.
So last
and I was
year,
only a few points out.
Schoenfeld and Cockcroft had 67. I had 66. Lipscomb, who's that? 65.5, and you had 63.5. This year, Schoenfeld's winning. And Schoenfeld's winning for obvious reasons, I think. This is a ridiculous pitching. I don't know how we let him have this pitching. Anyway, we'll see who wins. I'm trying. I'm trying to do well. I'm not going to win.
I'm just stirring the pot.
Yeah, I don't mind. I think it's fun. It can go too far sometimes, but yes, okay.
I'm thinking behind every little bit of luck, there's some skill, too. Like, you're not just picking up Aaron Judge just because you flipped a coin. So I'm anti-luck. I think it's a game of
skill. I think all of us know what we're doing, but we need a little luck, too.
Of course.
I don't have Judge on any teams.
Nor do I.
I have Swanson on a team. I'm not enjoying that.
That's not good luck. Fly the W is curious on McCutcheon. He continues to rake. He's batting .396 since the beginning of June. Can we expect this MVP-type level of performance the rest of the way, or is it simple regression after hitting .223 through May?
No. I mean, he's this year's Dozier. Obviously, he's not going to hit 40 home runs in the second half, but, I mean, that's this year's Dozier to me, AJ. That's a guy who we gave up on at the end of May, and he's proved us sorely wrong.
I agree with you. I mean, I like him. I've interacted with him. I think he's a great guy, and so I'm happy to see him doing well. But does that mean that he can keep up this pace? Probably not. I don't think that he's going to keep up this pace, but is he a top 50 hitter the rest of the way? Absolutely. And if he keeps up most of this pace, he's a top 25 hitter.
All righty, we got one last question. This one comes from Ben. Kyle Seager hit two homers this weekend and five in the last 3.5 weeks. Who are some players ranked similarly the rest of the season after the early season struggles?
Kyle Seager. Okay. Let's see what AJ's got here for Kyle Seager, because I think your rankings – are probably the most updated at this point. Let's see what we got.
92 overall amongst hitters. Aaron Altair, Kevin Pillar, Josh Harrison are the three above him.
Altair's going on the DL today, so Cesar Hernandez can come off it, so obviously I would take Seager over him. Like, you have Seager right next to Jose Abreu. That's pretty tight.
Another very underrated guy.
Eric Thames. I'd take Seager over Thames at this point. Do you agree with that? Well, obviously you don't. You have Thames ranked higher. But that's a points league, and I think the question
might have
been for a standard. In a points league, yeah, Thames is still walking a lot. But in a standard league, I'd rather have Seager than Thames. Seager versus Justin Upton, that's pretty close. I'd probably take Upton. Seager versus Corey Dickerson, you have them ranked almost in the same spot. I'd still take Seager. I guess I'm still expecting Seager to get better. Is that fair? I mean, like, at this point of the season, don't we think that – I mean, it's been 3 months, and you can draw a lot of conclusions after 3 months. He's batting .296. The only thing that's down, I think, are the – well, even the power, he's kind of on pace for the same year. I don't know why people are – oh, I'm looking at the wrong Seager. I knew when I did that, I knew that he was not hitting that way. Yes, Kyle Seager, of course, is hitting .251. But I don't know why we would expect Kyle Seager to not hit, like, .275 the rest of the way, which is kind of what we were projecting before the season. So why would we think that'd be different just because of a couple bad months? He's only 29.
Yeah, but he's Kyle Seager. It's one of those things. I own him in a couple of leagues, and he's one of these guys who, despite my advice, not to platoon, you know, and just keep your guys in there, I always end up chasing the streaks. It's like physician heal thyself. I don't take my own advice with him, and I always end up chasing.
Fair enough.
Alrighty, and that'll do it for the questions today. We couldn't get to everything, obviously, but as always, 06010MLB every night, and we'll curate the questions and ask them to the guys and get your best answers and make you smarter fantasy owners.
Well, we'll at least try. Next show Wednesday and then Thursday. Let's take a look at Monday's schedule here. We do have a game on ESPN at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Marcus Stroman and the Blue Jays against Eduardo Rodriguez. Is that his first start off at DL, the lefty with the knee issue? I think it is. AJ, I'll ask you again. I'm sure I've asked you this before, but some people might be listening for the first time, and how dare they? When a player comes off the disabled list, do you start him right away, or does it depend on the opponent, the injury, and whatever else?
Yeah, obviously, everything depends. It's case by case. I tend not to in most situations. I'd like to see them, especially if it's something where you take a look at their minor league pitch count on the few rehab starts, if they've had rehab starts. If it's not up to 80 pitches, then I would probably hold off, because that means they're probably going to be on a very strict pitch count that first game back. If they've gotten over 80, then that's usually a sign that the team will just let them pitch as much as they want. Of course, matchups still factor in there and everything, but that's usually a good guide.
So the day's slate has already started, which means by the time you're listening to this in weekly leagues, especially on ESPN, it's too late to make moves, because Strasburg and Scott Feldman got it going in Cincinnati at 12:30, unless it's raining, and I don't know if it is. So hopefully you made it in time. I have Feldman on a daily points league team, and I actually left him active, and I thought, that's just crazy. But, you know what it is? When you said, and you've said it a couple times, that there is actually proof that in day games it takes the hitters longer to get going than the pitchers, I thought, all right, maybe Feldman has a better shot in a 12:35 p.m. game than he does in a 7 o'clock game against that Nationals offense.
So, well, especially if it's a walk day, as it is, where, like, a lot of times these teams just say, you know what? Washington could be sitting there going, we're in Cincinnati. We have a flight to Los Angeles that we have to catch and play tomorrow. Let's just get out of here. It doesn't mean they're going to swing at bad pitches, but they might swing at a lot of pitches.
Speaking of swinging at pitchers, Kyle, how about those Brewers hitters today against Pittsburgh's Chad Kuhl?
Chad Kuhl's not good. We're not going to Rick Porcello status here. I mean, Porcello's been looking better, and I'll take my lumps for that. He's pitching better. I'm still not a Porcello guy, but somebody tell me why the Brewers can't hang like 7-8 runs on them tonight.
They can, and actually, I think Brent Suter's a decent play.
There you
last
go.
Two outings. Beat the Yankees, or pitched well against the Yankees and Orioles. He's a reliever, a swingman. He's maybe his last start, who knows, but he's pitched okay, and Pittsburgh doesn't really hit lefties.
And the win's valuable in DFS, so my guys are going to get your guys some run support, and everybody's going to look smart. It's going to be a great Monday.
See, Kyle, we can work together beautifully.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's what it's all about. Other guys, Lance McCullers is probably your most expensive guy in DFS today against Ariel Miranda. I can't make any case to use Miranda against that Houston offense. In a general case, Miranda's not so bad. Jason Vargas at home against Detroit. If I remember correctly, Vargas' last outing was against Seattle, and it went poorly. AJ, how are you viewing Jason Vargas? As a first-half fluke or as a guy who can keep this going the entire season?
I think the win-loss total, fluky, but I do think that he can keep the ERA and WHIP numbers fairly consistent going forward. I like him. I like him tonight. I also like your guy, Eichhoff, in Miami. He's probably going to give you six innings, but if he gives you six hits in those six innings with a couple of strikeouts, I think in terms of points leagues, I think it might be worth it.
Are you using Adam Wainwright at Citi Field?
I am not. I am not because the Mets are just watching them against the Rockies, and I realized the Rockies pitchers were, you know, hurt for most of what they saw. It's too many home runs that the Mets hit at home.
And ever so briefly here, we should mention, I mean, he's a major league pitcher. He's old enough to be our father. But Bartolo Colon on Tuesday on ESPN at home against the Yankees, he's a Twin now. And that's not a double entendre or anything. But, I mean, in an AL-only league, do you pick up Bartolo Colon?
No. He's looked awful. He looked awful in Rochester in his practice start. And pretty much I think they would prefer to give him another start down there. They weren't sold on him. But I think when he signed, he basically said, I'll give you one AAA start, and then you have to activate me or send me somewhere else. And so they're taking a chance. They're rolling the dice. I would not.
My goodness. Edwin Jackson is starting for Washington on Tuesday. And you're a first-place team, and you're just basically saying to the Braves and the Mets, I could throw this guy out there and still win the division by 10 games. That's hard to believe. Edwin Jackson is replacing
Joe. I think the Nationals could start undecided. An actual guy named Vinny Undecided that they pull off the streets and probably to compete.
I think that's our clue. We're done for today. Thank you so much for listening to our fine fantasy-focused baseball show, and I think we'll be back on Wednesday to give more mediocre, good advice. It depends how you look at it, I would say. So for AJ Mass and all the other people who make this show great, Daniel Dopp producing, Kyle Soppy's here, and maybe even Mr. TBA, we never know. Have an awesome Monday. Everything.